podcast has changed my life.
That is lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be met.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.
This is not funny!
No, I think that's the minimum.
Just, no, you
you're going to have good posture. Is that a phenomenon? I feel like I've encountered that a few times in my life. Men coming up with vaguely sexist jokes that they could never say and then pitching them to women.
Does that happen a lot? I do that so much. I reckon that's 99% of the conversations I have with women.
It's like, would you say this, like, please, so that I can get some satisfaction watching you do it and be like, oh, I made that point, but secretly you get away with it.
Oh, these fine laughs.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's absolutely okay. No internalised misogyny going on over there.
Maybe of Danielle said previously said her audience, what was it, young gay guys?
Young gay guys, yep. Young quirky women, old countrymen, and then like 25-year-old country men who ride dirt bikes and stuff. Mostly countrymen.
Well, the last two would love the joke.
Well, I feel like they would. Also, I feel like you've artificially broken this audience into four categories when it sounds like two. Weren't the first just weird people and country people? Wasn't there?
Okay, if you want to. Oh,
I reckon that's worse than my joke, Tom.
But isn't that what you said? Didn't you say weird?
I said gay men as
gay
well.
Gay men. Oh,
oh my lord. Three categories then? I'm very sorry.
Tom Cashman, it's official. He thinks being gay is weird.
It's a little bit strange.
I know, but they might. Young gay men are notoriously misogynistic.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. They may like it as well. I think there's only one.
Are they?
Oh, let's just go with it.
Yeah.
I mean, you hate them already, so like.
I don't. I feel like, that's a phenomenon. Again, I mean, people, I think, are just aware in society of what they can get away with, and gay guys can definitely get away with a bit more, both because they're in a, I suppose, subjugated category and a bit funny.
Okay.
This is normally, Danielle, I'm sure you haven't done, like, listen, but, like, yeah, normally this is what happens. Tom does, like, 10 to 15 minutes of real homophobic kind of chat to start each episode.
Gay guys are pretty funny. I don't know if that's...
Gay guys are funny, though.
Come on.
Gay guys are much funnier than straight guys, and I don't think you could...
It's, like, per capita. Obviously, not every single one, but I feel like there's stereotypes within the gay community, of which there are a few of the stereotypes are, like, funny... Funny guys.
I feel like it's a lot of pressure on them, though, because if you ever met... It would sometimes be. You meet somebody and they're, like, trying really hard to be funny, but they're just being loud.
Mm.
And you're like, you need to calm it down.
I feel like people
We know someone like that. We did a gig with someone like that.
Wait, we did?
Oh, we'll talk about that later.
Oh, wait, yes. I got it. Okay.
Someone who's... I feel like there's certain things that people confuse comedy for. One is kind of, just like ostentatious behaviour or like loudness.
That's a great comic.
And one is like lying. That's another big one. I feel like in my social life, a lot of people will confuse a joke with just lying. Just saying a fake thing.
Gotcha,
And then you'd be like, really? And they'll be like, no. And you'd be like, hilarious.
What, in your real life?
I think an example for me
About
real
life.
About
5 minutes ago when I walked in and did it to you.
What did you do?
When I walked in and I said, do you know there's a rooftop here?
I think, okay, so that was...
and Tom goes, really? And I go, no.
I would put that in a different category and that's not what I was referring to. That would have been...
You looked at me and goes, when people are lying, and I'm like, it's because of the lie I told 5 minutes ago.
That was also a callback because we'd talked about that previously. Yes, so that was, I think, a different category of like better humour. I'm thinking specifically, I was at a party once and I was with someone who I knew and then there was someone who I didn't know came over. And the person who I did know said to the person I didn't know that neither of us knew, me and Tom met when we went holidaying together in Brazil. And that wasn't true at all.
Mm.
And then the person who didn't know me was like, is that right? I'm like, no.
What? That's not even funny.
No, exactly. And then I turned back to the first person. I'm like, what's that about? She's like, I'm just kidding. I'm like, this is not humor.
This also reminds me of you being notoriously bad at improv games. Like, and never saying it. I remember when we did a show, you being Cameron, and you did the same thing. I said something on stage at the start of the show to be like, we always start with like whatever happens. And then Tom goes, no, we don't. And we're on stage. I'm like, just say yes.
No,
just move on.
We decided to come out and start at like 30 seconds of like, hello, everyone. And then the other two would leave. And then one person would start performing stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
But I think because we called it new stuff, you said, we're going to, we had a big meeting about what to call it. Very creative name. Took a long time to come up with. And I just said, no, it didn't.
He did this on stage. To me,
that's just a joke. That's not blocking.
That is funny. Yeah.
You could have gone along with that. You know what I mean? I stand by that one.
I think it's funny to say, yes. No, we didn't.
As opposed to, yeah, we did. It took 45 minutes. I suppose that actually would have been fine as well to go into more detail.
I mean, yeah, if you went a bit further, instead of going, no, you didn't, and you walked off stage, left me to be like, sorry, guys, Tom's going through some stuff right now.
As I started making fun of what you expected me to do, I realised that is also funny and more appropriate. I apologise.
Have you ever done improv, Danielle?
Oh, I did it. You know, there's that improv conspiracy in Melbourne, and sometimes they get
is
comedians
it a conspiracy?
To do it. I think it is because it's some sort of pyramid scheme in there.
Okay,
it is 100%.
What's a conspiracy?
What do you mean? It's
not, not even happening.
It costs so much money for the people to pay to be in the course.
Oh, and then there's a course.
They have to get like. To get to the next level, you have to pay more money or bring a certain amount of people along.
Really?
Yeah. And I was listening to somebody posted a clip of themselves doing stand-up there because they also run, like, stand-up nights at the Improv Conspiracy just for the people who do improv.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I listened to the clip and I was like, these people are being paid to laugh because it's psycho laughter at not.
Who's the conspiracy theorist now, though?
Right, now it's you.
Have you ever heard of Premiere Pro and the things you can do with the editing? They just bumped up the laughter. They haven't gone in and handed out cash being like.
This is completely fake laughter then because nobody would have laughed at these jokes if it was a real space.
What's the opener? I met Tom in Brazil. Actually, one of my greatest experiences. The show's called New Stuff, which actually took a while. Hang on, are you accusing them of editing digitally or paying people,
paying the crowd,
the live people okay.
to
this is crazy.
Like,
I mean, yeah,
you're
the conspiracy.
Yeah, I think that they get the crowd to give good feedback, so everybody's just in there laughing at each other's terrible jokes, so that they even feel good about themselves.
I mean,
when really they should hate themselves.
No, totally. Give them. There's new comedians. They're just starting out, aren't they?
But I think
some of them have been doing the improv stuff for years and just haven't ever gone to the stand-up scene.
And I think Danielle's probably kind of fine with them being new, but not fine with the level of the positive feedback they're receiving.
Yeah, the false.
You
want to
see them
die. I want to see them bomb. Mm. Yeah.
And that's kind of how you improve, I suppose.
Yeah.
I feel like that could happen naturally just by nature of them all learning together and having affection for each other.
Yeah.
Did you consider that?
Why were you in there, by the way?
I wasn't. I was looking at it on Facebook.
Yeah.
But, oh, okay, so you haven't done any shows there.
I've done improv shows there, like, occasionally you get invited to be, like, the guest or whatnot.
Mm.
Okay. And so
I've done that. Big laughs?
Yeah, fine. It was good. Because, I mean, all the crowds are psychos. They're like crazy laughs at improv.
For sure.
Can we get them to our show?
Yeah.
Or do we have to pay them still, do you think? Maybe I'll do that before my show. I'll just walk out and just hand out $10 notes, being like, come on.
Well, I feel like the trouble is if you invite, I don't know if you've had this experience, like friends to a comedy show, I think they will often make a joke along the lines of, oh, I'll make sure to laugh.
Yeah.
But I think in practice, it's all very easy to say, but in reality, they often don't. They're often kind of just looking around, kind of all a bit perplexed because they kind of know you, the trick doesn't quite work. They're not really focusing. I don't, has this not been your experience?
No.
You're both looking at me like, no, I feel like laughing.
They
know,
my friends laugh.
Yeah, anything they get it on another level because we're so close.
Okay. But I feel like it's harder than you think to actually fake laugh. I reckon you might be looking at $20. Like people will pay flyers, for example, to flyer before a show.
Yeah.
And that the going rate there is like $20. To laugh, I think that's a harder job. It's quite emotionally draining.
It is hard. I went to a show with you in Edinburgh, Tom. I sat next to you, and you didn't laugh much.
That's where you met.
No, it's on the rooftop here.
This is the trouble with lying. You can't keep track of what's true.
But you didn't laugh much. But every time you laughed,
yes,
I made sure that I giggled as well, just to add a bit more oomph to the guys. Because I wanted
that for my benefit or for
the performer? I wanted to double your laugh for the guy. I like the guy who's
interesting.
But you weren't laughing that much.
But you weren't laughing on your own?
No, I was trying to do my own stuff as well. I didn't really know where the punchlines were coming. But so it's like when Tom laughed, I was like, well, that's a funny bit. I'll laugh on top of it.
Well, I think but that's probably happening subconsciously as well. Like it is a bit infectious.
Yeah.
Totally.
I think a lot of laughs people get are just laughs at other people's laughs.
I get a lot of people asking if my laugh is real, which is strange.
You've got a great laugh.
Imagine if I did a stage laugh. How psycho would that be?
A lot of people do stage laughs.
Some of them do.
But some people plan it. I think there's a lot of, in lower levels of Australian comedy, a lot of kind of men copying Chris D'Elia.
Does he laugh?
he would do a lot of like hysterical laughing on stage. Like, it's out of control how much he's laughing more than anyone in the crowd.
I've done that sometimes. Yeah, I've done that. There's one thing that, like, whenever I mention it, I cry from laughter. And so I can't talk about it on stage. But I did. That's the sitting on the tier of comedy
is something that makes you laugh so much you can't even say it.
It's not funny to anybody.
You're sitting on the greatest door. Bit of all time.
I think that was a Monty Python bit, some joke that everyone who heard it died of laughter.
Oh, my God.
So it was like a big, it was like a war secret. No one could.
You rolled that out on the Nazis.
Well, they were, yeah, like, should we spread it? Exactly. That's but the so person funny. Who delivered it had to, like, had to die.
Imagine if that was a symptom of COVID. If you get it, you just laugh to death in a hospital.
Well, maybe, I mean, laughing gas is a classic thing they give you to kind of alleviate terrible symptoms in hospital. Maybe that is how people die.
Oh, my God. Well, they wheel Danielle in, tell the joke.
Now's the time. That is a bit psycho, though. I feel like that happens sometimes just in conversations as well as if you're performing. I feel like maybe a kind of improvised thing or something kind of just happens in the moment, which makes you to kind of authentically laugh.
Yeah. Mm.
And then perhaps a few nights later you try and, you know, something similar happens and you try and recreate that. And in your mind, the laughter was kind of part of why it was good. And then you're kind of, you kind of ham it up a bit. You're not
Did
really
you say
laughing.
You're doing this in conversation?
Oh, yeah, no, this, I mean, this specific thing applies okay. more to performing.
Is that Tom goes into every conversation? Okay.
Yeah, that's psycho. Well, but then that's the other, if to flip it around, I feel like another thing I could get behind is paying people to laugh in conversation.
What?
Oh, you'd you know be what I mean? So poor.
What As are you opposed- talking about, Tom? So what, you're having a conversation with someone and you give them $2?
Well, yeah, instead of just paying for people to come to the crowd like the improv people are doing, I feel like if I'm going to a party, there's going to be a few new people, particularly after COVID, you know, our circles have gotten smaller. I want to make a good impression. I feel like it wouldn't hurt.
So you're going to, like, have an entourage and then approach new people?
I think that with the entourage, too obvious.
Yeah.
You need seven people come at once. You need They're to all behind me.
Send them in early.
Yeah, exactly. You get there early and then leave to get ice. Afterwards, but for the first 10 minutes, just go around to the kind of early people and be like, look, I've got a proposal for you. My name's Tom. Nice to meet you. How do you feel about making $15 tonight?
You can't propose it at the party because then they'll know you've asked everybody and they won't be impressed.
No, because it's got to be random because if it's your friends, exactly, if they're people that are like, did Tom know Danielle before?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, she's laughing a lot.
Totally. The trouble, I think, with this plan, which kind of Danielle is has I think, elucidated here, is I feel like if you did ask like three random people, if you could pay them $15 to laugh at your jokes, I feel like they'd be like, okay, and then immediately tell everyone at the party.
Yeah,
that is great goss.
it's
the best. Goss. It's like see that guy over there? He fucking tried to pay me to laugh these stories.
I think instead of getting them to laugh, if they could just maybe tell three or four choice people at the party that they're like, Tom Cashman's such a great, funny guy.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, if they just have to pass on that
just
message.
One compliment.
Yeah, totally.
But then you'd want, before paying, well, first of all, you'd have to do like half up front, half at the end. Because otherwise they could just say they're complimenting.
It's a classic booking structure.
It is. The payment has to be kind of 50% on delivery.
50% on booking, 50%
yeah.
on delivery.
But then I want evidence. So they'd have to either secretly voice record the conversation and send that through as proof of the compliment. Or
Done.
Perhaps at the end of the
I'll
party,
go in with a wire.
I go up to all the people being like, have you received any compliments about me today? And I can do like an audit.
I love that. Even better. You stop the party. We go, guys, just before we go any further, has anyone been given some compliments about me?
It's like, ding, ding, ding. Everyone thinks I'm going to give a toast to the person whose birthday it is. It's like, no. This is not got to do with any of that. I just want to know, hands up if someone, let's say who, has said, I'm a chilled, relaxed guy.
You've got a clip.
Few hands. I feel like that's just an idea.
Well, you could do it. You've just moved to Sydney, Danielle.
Mm.
You were telling me you want to make friends.
I do want to make
friends,
but
thing.
I'm bad at making friends because I'm too lazy with it.
Yes.
So, like, I have an issue where I don't pursue people who I want to be friends with, and then I just let whatever dregs come to me, and then I end up with people who I'm like, why the fuck am I hanging out with you?
Yeah. Look, I'm literally trying to do a stand-up hit about this at the moment, about just being stuck with friends.
Mm.
And you're like, how did this happen?
Yeah. Mm.
I had bigger dreams.
Totally. Well, I feel like, first
no disrespect to you guys. Two friends of mine.
Woo! All right. No, but I feel like, yeah, one is starting the new one, yeah, which is difficult. But then two is, yeah, like kind of cutting off an old one. I feel like depending on how you made it, if you make most of your friends, because I think I'm a bit similar to what you just described. Yeah. It's like if the work is kind of on the other people and they pursue you for a while and then feel that like they lock you down, that's the kind of person that won't go away if you just ignore a text or two. That's yeah, like a...
That's a long-term one.
That's a pursuer. Yeah. It's going to be difficult.
I remember once I had this friend and she came over and gave me pedicures.
What?
What? She was studying like beauty school stuff.
Sure, she was.
Oh my!
And give me pedicures.
Would she ask permission?
She'd be like, "Do you want a pedicure? I'll come over." And I was like, "Yeah, sure."
Did you make a lunch or dinner or something?
No, she would just sit on a stool near my feet
and then leave
my feet in the mop bucket. I forgot about this.
Well, I don't think she can do this on stage.
Yeah, exactly. You're describing a servant. Did she feed you grapes as well?
No. She was like, one time she gave me the worst manicure I've ever had in my life.
They're not even good.
It all peeled
She's
off.
In training.
I had to go to work and my fingers were peeling off. Oh my God, I forgot. I'm good now.
Now
it's asking, how's your weekend? You're like, shit.
Do you think it was pathetic by her?
Yeah, psycho behaviour.
That's too much of a difference in power in the relationship. It's not healthy.
Did you ever do anything
for her? No, never.
Not one. I bought her half a Snickers once.
Did you invite her anywhere?
Gave her some gum.
How close were you? Because I would be freaked out if, like, a fringe friend of mine messaged me and be like, hey, can I come over and give you a pedicure? Mm. Or a massage or something? I'd be like, no. Imagine if they'd be like, can I come give you a massage?
Well, that's a bit of a, yeah, I feel like with a man, it's more scary.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's like that, I'd be worried he's going to kill me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was just a nice lady.
Yeah, okay.
Still.
Yeah.
Still too much touching. What's the biggest, like, the most formal hang you'd had before the first pedicure?
Oh, like, had she
lunch together before?
She, like, stayed at my house.
Okay.
She'd come to him when she'd stayed at my house and she had been a bit psycho.
Mm.
Like,
she kept trying. You're waking up, and she's grabbing your feet.
She was.
Let
like,
me look at him.
She kept filming herself in the spare room. It was like after a gig, and I wanted to go to sleep because I'd work the next day. It's like 5 years ago, and then she was making videos on her phone with tiny teddies doing little act outs, and it was really loud in the room next door. And I was like, "You got to be quiet because I need to get to sleep. It's like 2 a.m. I got work tomorrow."
Totally, yeah.
And then she like started crying because I'd gotten annoyed, like upset with her.
Yeah.
And then
how
like,
cross were you?
I wasn't very cross. I was just like, but she was quite drunk. So you know how
when did she get the tiny teddy?
Like, I think she just got them from the 7-Eleven or something.
Oh, God. I haven't had one in years.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't know.
They're great.
My mum never bought me one. And then she would, yeah, she was crying. And then I went back to bed and then the crying got so loud that I said, hey. Like,
crack out those tiny teddies.
Would you mind going downstairs and sleeping on
to
the
cry.
Couch? To cry. Because she's crying too loud.
You asked your housemate to change rooms because the sobbing was keeping.
No, not a housemate, a guest.
Who's a guest?
Yeah, she'd just come to stay.
Oh, right.
And how did Danielle try to patch it up? She was like, come over and give me a pedicure.
Exactly.
Do you not think that's psycho?
Yes, I feel like it's a bit...
The
well,
loud crying and stuff.
Maybe something else was going on in her life and you could have been slightly more compassionate. I don't think it was just the tiny teddy act outs that made her well up.
Come to bed and go to sleep, you know?
Come to bed.
Because she was coming and she was going to share the bed.
Oh, your bed?
Yeah.
Wait,
oh,
she didn't,
no.
I had two rooms at this house. It was like two small rooms when I first got to Melbourne. So it was like one room that was like a bedroom and one room that I used as like an art studio. So she'd gone to the art studio to make a tiny teddy's video or something.
Cool.
It was being really loud. And then I asked her if she could be quiet because I needed to go to work in the morning.
I mean,
and then she started crying loudly.
And then you didn't ever think to be like, babe, what's up?
Well, I had talked to her about it, but she's very closed off.
Yeah.
And the tiny teddies thing seems to me, and maybe it's a bit cynical, but it seems like a bit of like she's trying to show off or something. It's like, look at what I'm doing. I'm crazy. I'm doing creative, fun stuff here. But it's just like wrong time.
Way wrong time.
You know, it reminds me of, I was in the choir when I was 10 and like 11. And I don't think I was particularly good, but like, yeah, when you learn something at that age, you get
What kind of songs?
I remember doing PAA Zoo. What? I remember doing that one.
PAA Zoo Domino.
Oh, yes. You would know all these quite. You're a brilliant singer.
I don't know that. What's that? Is that like a hymn?
Some sort of hymn. I remember doing some other. I mean, I think some of them were written by like the guy. Just some, the man, the choir
God.
Man.
The God.
God? No, nah, Mr. Shaw.
He also
the
made.
Choir teacher.
He made all the boys call him
the
God,
big
though.
Guy. Oh, that's great. yeah, these. I mean, these the first guy. But I feel like, yeah, I don't know, just like classic. I'd imagine, yeah, classic primary school kind of choir songs. But I remember being kind of relatively proud of my singing abilities, and like having gone to bed as a 10-year-old or something. I think my bedroom door was still open, but just like singing. Showing off, basically,
yeah.
Hoping for a compliment from one of my parents that of like, oh, you have a beautiful voice. So I was just kind of singing, not top of my lungs, but pretty loud. Piezo Domine.
Oh, my God.
Piezo. Oh, my God.
For like, you know, 3 or 4 minutes, like really no feedback, but for quite a while. And like I can hear mum and dad pottering around like, they can hear me.
They're trying to live their lives.
Totally. I think they were trying to put my sister to bed or something. And then at the event, I just hear my mum be like, shut up! And I remember feeling really hurt because I pictured what I thought was going to happen was, and I was 10 to be fair, so this girl's not exactly in the same category, but I expected, oh, Tom, oh, what a beautiful voice you have. And I got, shut up! So it was quite shocking. And I didn't cry, but I wanted to, I think, you know. And yeah. I think it's similar. I think she wanted a compliment. She wanted, oh, my God, this tiny teddy thing. How you're crazy.
I can't see it, but I could hear the scene playing out from the room. And it's a genius.
I have a lot more sympathy for your parents, Tom, than for you in that situation with the tiny Ted's woman. Your poor parents living their lives and this annoying 10-year-old. Probably
their
not
child,
a good
to
singer.
Be fair.
Yeah, totally.
Some random.
I used to do that as a kid, though, as well. Mm-hmm. When I got my iPod Shuffle, I'd go to sleep at night with one ear pop, like ear. What do you call those? Headphone in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, and
yeah.
One not in. And then I'd sing along to the song in like a whisper. So I sort of be like, I guess, like a young ghost girl singing throughout the house. And then my dad would come and knock up on the door and he'd be like, can you keep it down in there?
Were you doing it for attention?
No. I didn't. I thought I was whispering it. I didn't think
see,
they could
yours
hear.
Is then more honest
and pure.
And pure, I think, then, because you were just actually being enthusiastic for the music. Yeah. I remember the feeling, and I would have denied it at the time, but I wanted attention. I wanted them to say that my voice was, which made it all the more disappointing when I got told to shut up. What sounds were the tiny teddy things, what does that sound like? Was she doing little voices for them?
Yeah, just little voices for them.
Okay.
So. But I'm like, this woman was like 5 years older than me. So at the time, she was probably like 28.
How do you know this woman?
I can't say because then she.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Oh, she'll know. There can't be too many people that have played games with tiny teddies in your room.
Well, she did comedy.
Oh!
Where I'm from. And then moved down here, but then she doesn't do it anymore.
Totally.
Zach Dyer.
Yes. I would love that. You know, me and Zach went to scouts together as children.
Really?
Stop it.
Yeah. Yeah, we were in the scouts, in the same scout group.
So were you friends before comedy?
No. He was only in my scout group for, like, I guess, like, a small period of time. Or the crossover was very small. But also, I think, like, Zach and I, we were very different children. Zach was, like, a cool dirt bike, scabby-kneed kid. And I was more, like, weird child who... No.
Danielle's face changed during it. The first one, she was like, cool, kind of open eye. And then she scrunched over her face and she went, started doing weird fingers, like a weird little.
I thought you were waiting for us to jump in. And it's like, I'm not going to add to this.
No, I was just a weird little kid.
Totally.
I don't know. I remember, like, I used to look at myself in the mirror for a long time. And then I was sure that my face, there was a girl at my school called Shana Krillison. And I was sure when I looked at my face for long enough in the mirror, my face would become her face.
Oh, my God.
I was sure that we had the same dad because of that. Because I don't know my biological father. And I was like, it's Shana.
Because
she's my
you
sister.
Stared at yourself long enough
mirror.
That you looked like her, therefore her father was your father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't know her dad either. Her mum was like she had two mums because her mum was a lesbian.
Gotcha. Oh, so that, right. But that made it more kind of possible and likely, maybe.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, not to overrate the possibilities. Yeah, it was still deranged behavior.
It is, yeah.
That sounds like a Greek tale or something. Someone who looks in the mirror so much they morph.
Yeah.
You go into the mirror.
Or she would come out of the mirror?
Or your face would suddenly change?
No, it was like my face
changed.
Would like, I'd look in the mirror and I'd see my face, but then my face would look just like her face.
That's what's so funny about like kids, because everyone's kind of, I mean, that's particularly strange, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, no, that is so, we're pretending like it's kind of normal.
No.
It's but the like, craziest, it's very weird what you've done there.
Weird stuff like that is normal for kids to be doing to some degree, and then it's so funny how nonchalant you have to be when you get to school. Like, you were literally one morning being like, if I stare for 15 minutes right in my eyes, slowly my face turns into her face, and then you see her at recess, you're like, hey.
Yeah, did she know, like, ever? Were
well,
you friends with
like,
her?
It's not, no, because she was like,
really cool.
Real weird.
Oh, she was weirder
she
than
was
you?
Way weirder
no.
than me. No, she was way weirder than me.
We got to get her on. What was she doing then?
She was real weird. And she had, I remember once we were the only two people who entered the backstroke competition for swimming at school.
That was a notorious sign for who was weird at school.
Was it?
Who wants to do was backstroke? It? No, I'm joking.
I'll do all of them. I loved swimming.
Oh, man, Danielle, you know what you'd love? Let me tell you about something called the medley, my lord. You're really going to get across this.
I used to be the kid going like, I can't do butterfly forward, but if we can do it on our backs, that's way easier. Because you ever tried to do butterfly backwards?
You just try and knock microphones.
You like swimming so much, you're making up strokes.
That would be the most, that would be like a very unproductive stroke. The backwards butterfly.
But butterfly's already fucked.
Yeah, nobody is doing that to escape from a plane.
No, the only thing you could actually get away from is a fucking butterfly, actually. That's why they call it that.
They're actually pretty fast. I watched one go across the street, and I was like, that's going faster than I would if I was walking.
That's just an example of a thought I've had recently. Along those bloody lines. Do you know, though, that freestyle is not... So all the other strokes have, like, rules. Butterfly is a good example. You've got to do certain things. You're not allowed to kick. Freestyle, there's no rules. You can do whatever you want. But just,
what do you mean?
As in you can swim however you want, but just the fastest way to do it is what freestyle is that you know.
Oh, that's just true. So you could if you wanted to.
But you could do your one in freestyle and it wouldn't be against the rules. You'd just lose.
Surely not.
What about this?
Really?
Though?
I think.
So it's not even like.
No, there's no rules. You can do whatever you want in freestyle. That's what it's called, freestyle.
So you can do backstroke as well.
You can do backstroke, yeah.
That, you get a real kick because, you know, in the
1500s. Unless the person who told me that lied to me. Speaking of quite a lot of authority
which
now.
Would be funny now.
And I'm realising that there's a potential for this to be false, but I think it's true.
Well, no, then in the, like, you know, the 1500 at the Olympics, sometimes the winner wins by, like, heaps. Like, they win by a minute or something.
Mm.
The last 50, they could do breaststroke.
They could.
They could get on their back and do, like, a real kind of victory. On their back. Have a look at the crowd.
Yeah, some waving and stuff. Usually they're racing that yellow line.
Oh, that's they love the yellow. But they can't see the yellow line.
No, which I found out.
What? You didn't know?
Oh, as a child, I thought that was in there.
Yeah, I did too when I was a kid. I always spent the whole time thinking, how do they do that? Exactly. Never ask your parent.
All this press for bloody Thorpey. Let's get an interview with that line. My lord.
I used to have Ian Thorpe's feet because they printed them in the newspaper. I used to have them up on my wall. And I'd lie in my bed and put my little feet up in his feet and be like, one day my feet will be as big as his feet and I'll swim so fast.
Okay, a few themes emerging here. One is feet, obviously, and another is you by yourself looking at stuff very intently and dreaming about the future.
Yeah.
I mean, this one, a bit more normal because... There was a point in Australian history where all anyone could talk about was the size of Ian Thorpe's feet.
Yeah.
That was huge. Everyone was like, they're size 17. That I remember just like, there were just news headlines. Thorpe's feet, bigger than everyone else.
Mm. Yeah.
He's got flippers on.
And you know that about Thorpe? Funny guy.
He was like one of my first crushes that wasn't a cartoon.
Really?
You had a crush on Thorpe?
Yeah, but
he
I mean,
so
I was
sweet,
like eight, you know. And also, do you remember when he was young? He looked very different. To now. Now he's
I haven't seen him for years. What's he been doing?
He looked like a grown up version of my neighbour who I also had a crush on.
Do you think that is why you were
maybe. I was like, that's grown up my neighbour. Because my neighbour
did he swim, the neighbour?
Yeah, he had, because before I moved out to the country and we had our own pool, he was the kid with the pool on the neighbourhood.
Oh.
And he was, like, my best friend in the street. And so we would, like, go swimming together at his house every day. And then one day he did say, you know, like, when you come over, we don't always have to go swimming. Like, we could do other things too.
Oh,
don't and ruin so this
then,
for me.
Then we had to play Lego sometimes, or his favourite thing to do. Just in the heat.
Yeah. Hot Lego, well, like, right.
Far North Queensland, right? It's always hot.
Yeah, it's always hot.
Always then, go for a dip.
His favourite thing to do was also he liked Five, the boy band.
Mm.
And he had, a VCR of their, like, tour. So he'd won a... to watch the tour all the time.
How old were you then?
Like 6 or 7.
It's no good.
Yeah, I reckon too old for Five.
He also showed me once at Christmas time, you know, the crackling off the pig? He'd stolen a heap of it and wrapped it up in paper towel and hid it in his bedroom so he'd have crackling whenever he wanted it.
Oh, see, that's
wait,
just...
Wait, how long,
what the fuck is happening?
How long did he have it for?
I don't know, like a few weeks. I guess it's cool.
That makes sense.
You need a snack when you're watching the Five VHS tour.
I think people, I did that with Easter bunny chocolate, Easter chocolate, for example, Halloween candy. You kind of save it. Yeah. And I feel like you just, you apply that for different foods.
Yeah.
I'm on board with that.
How long does crackling last?
I did that with, we went to Dreamworld and I got a bag of fairy floss and I was like, I'm going to save this fairy floss for some time when I really want it. And then I saved it for so long that I went to the cupboard and I was like, it's time for me to have my fairy floss. And I opened it and it was just a bag of air. Because if you...
Oh, yeah, it disappears. It
does it?
Yeah, I kept it for so long.
Oh, my God.
What was that? Was there anything left?
No, it was just like gone.
That would be the perfect murder weapon.
I guess there would have been like fairy sugar floss. In it, fairy but to floss. Me it was like nothing.
Because then it disappears.
Well, so you stuff enough in someone's throat that they stop breathing. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. And then
it disappears. And like, how did they die? And then they'll test and they'll be like, strangulation.
I mean, I'm sure they'd be able to tell.
And they'll be like, but they'll know.
Exactly, yeah.
No.
I thought you meant when you said use it as a murder weapon, like get enough of it and compact it.
That's what I was originally picturing.
What if someone listens to this and tries that? And then would we feel guilt?
Depends who the victim was.
Yeah.
If it was Malcolm Turnbull, I would feel guilty.
I'd feel guilty. Yeah, yeah.
It's probably not evil enough to be deserve to.
Yeah, no.
I feel like it would suck to be murdered by a fairy floss as well because it's quite silly. So I feel like you'd feel a lot of fear, but you'd be aware that it's also quite amusing. Yeah.
You'd be trying to eat a bit at the same. You're like, if I'm going out, let's at least get a bit of that sugar.
I realize nobody can hear.
That's what happens in like the Cadbury world where everything's chocolate. Like brutal murders are happening, and as people are dying, they're drinking their own blood. Like, tasty. It's actually Cadbury. The world is actually one of the darkest places. Actually, very awful what's happening. But then also, I feel like back to the guy with the pool. Mm. I didn't have a pool growing up, but I did have a game called Meteor, Meteors, which I remember one kid. I think when I was 6 or something. A kid who was a bit mean to me at school and just in general. I think we played soccer together as well. Like he was, I think he bullied me. I think he had to stand up in an assembly and admit that he bullied me. There was an assembly.
How was that for you?
Well, I didn't know. I think it was a bit of an overreaction. My memory of this is I used to play handball and I think due to some sort of exclusionary tactics of like, which you could describe as bullying a little bit, which I think did upset me at the time, but also because they were kind of better at handball, I was often kind of out and a reserve and then try and get back in and then they'd gang up on me and then I'd get out again. But I think they kind of, the other people doing that were a bit better actually. Okay. Or maybe I just internalized the bullying.
Yeah, maybe you're just okay with it now.
Totally.
It sounds quite traumatic.
It's not, anyway, point is, I think I mentioned that to my mum. I think then she told the school unbeknownst to me that like I'm being bullied.
That's
and
always
then,
the way to sort it out. Get mum in there to defend. Well, when you're 6. Getting bullied.
But,
you should have sung for them, Tom.
This was before that, but that's brilliant.
Maybe offer them a few dollars to laugh or something.
I am a simple dunce. Could you not let me be Jack or Queen? God forbid, King. Oh, thank you. I bleed. Please, please.
Were you a weird kid?
Nah. After that, being like,
No, yeah, I was a bit of a joke.
Yeah, pretty one of the coolest guys, actually. Maybe. I don't think, I don't know, I hesitate to say yes to you, given what you've described.
Well, I was never bullied.
But there is always levels, because it's like, there's someone below Danny, there's another girl that cheated.
It's all relative.
Yeah. I was like, you psycho.
I think this was the level of, I don't think, this was just like exclusion. I feel like my point is, I think my mum kind of overreacted by telling the school, because then I remember that this assembly where they said, if you are a bully, stand up in front of like 200 people. It was
did
like
anyone stand up?
Yeah, and this kid stood up, and a few other people.
The nuts on that kid.
No, I think they would have had meetings with the people before and been like, "You're a bully, blah blah. Don't do this again." And as your kind of shame, as your punishment, we're going to have an assembly later, and you got to stand up.
I still
when
think
we
that's
ask.
Psycho.
But, me too. I think that's public shaming of everyone's six. By the way, just getting them to stand up in front of hundreds of kids, like you're a bully, and then they did a little speech. Kind of looking at the specific kids in front of like 200, 300 kids.
I mean, it's bad
kids.
For everyone.
Oh, and I was like, oh, no. I hope that's not because of me. And I got home and I told my mom about it. She's like, hey.
But she loved it.
Well, she was like, good. And I'm like, that wasn't the same as what I was being treated like. Yeah, that was like an overreaction, basically.
I bet your mom still hates that kid.
Well, probably. I think he actually is now going out with, sorry, now this is getting specific. When I was... 20 years old, there was a girl, I got slapped in the face, basically, and I'll tell you what, this is the only time I've been slapped in the face by a girl. The reason is that I went to a Halloween party, and everyone was in different costumes, and there was one girl in a costume, she was dressed up as like a Muslim man, with like a, I don't know, kind of this Muslim man garb, like kind of a turban and like white kind of flowing dress or whatever, and it was kind of like a funny costume because she's making kind of like a political point about, you know, they're kind of, you know, not at the time particularly terrorism, you know.
It was big.
Well, yeah, it was one of the kind of more controversial and...
So she was trying to be like, what was the point?
I think the point was that this is what people think. Also, she seemed to be... I didn't know where she was from or whatever, but I think she's of Middle Eastern descent of some kind. She's trying to make the point like where... with the enemy, I suppose.
Oh, so like this is the scariest thing you could dress up.
Yeah,
exactly.
Kind of
Halloween.
Scary. Yeah, she's making the point that like this is scary to our
and
current
that's
society.
That's what I think is important at Halloween, making a political statement as well. That's how you have fun at a party.
Well, it confuses little guys like me. Because then I saw her like 2 months later at a bar and she was drinking and I was trying to like reference the one time I'd met her before and the costume. I was like, hang on, you shouldn't be drinking if you're Muslim. And she slapped me in the face because she is.
Well, straight away she slapped you in the face.
Bam. And I was quite blindsided.
And how did you react? That's awesome, by the way. I love all of that. That's so good.
I sat her down and tried to apologise for an hour. Oh.
Did you?
Yeah, I was like, I'm not racist, please. Like, yeah, it was kind of
did she
overtop.
Accept it?
Kind of. I think she did to make me kind of
you
shut up.
You should have got an apology from her.
I would
she
have
slapped
liked,
you in the
looking
face.
Looking back, I think it was an overreaction from her again. But anyway, point is, that guy who had to stand up, is now married to that girl.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Just kind of through coincidence. So really? Being mean to Tom is apparently gets people horned up.
When their wedding vows is like, do you swear to someone love me and hate Tom Cashman?
Exactly, yeah. I think I would have been put up at their wedding.
You didn't get invited?
Yeah. No, I did not. But my point is that guy used to bully me, used to come around to my house. He would come over and play this computer game. And I realized at some point he wouldn't give me many goes.
Yeah.
And I feel like I realized at some point I was getting used for my computer game, really. Yeah. And I feel like that's how you'd feel if you had a pool. People are around, they're kind of not even making eye contact, blasting past you and your Lego to dive into that beautiful pool.
I mean, to be fair, I was doing a lot of, like, I really wanted to be a mermaid as a kid, and I used to, like, only hold my legs together like it was a tail, unless I was doing strokes at swimming. Mm. And so I was, like, doing a lot of underwater, like, ballet stuff by myself. Well,
totally.
Yeah, he should have been so stoked to have you there.
I mean, he just used to like to, you know, those
most
anti-social chairs?
Thing I can think of. It's like, yeah, I spend most of the time underwater. Actually,
he got a show. Okay,
he got a show. He's in the goggles, watching you underneath.
He used to sit in those like noodle chairs. Do you remember those? Where
yes.
You get the noodle.
Oh, yeah.
He
just
used to sit in that for the whole time we were in the pool.
You mean like? Oh, you mean awesome and relaxing?
Yeah. Oh, man, I used to, when I was a kid, to think those noodles were like the height of luxury. And yeah. only the other cool. day I saw they were they're $1 at Kmart.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Ain't that cheap?
Yeah.
And you got to get new ones every season. Pool.
Yeah. Oh, do you? Because do they?
They like disintegrate in the sun.
I mean, that makes
like
sense.
Fairy floss.
Very bad for the environment. Yeah.
Well, fairy floss is actually the best thing for the environment because it just disappears. Maybe if we make enough fairy floss, it'll evaporate into the sunshine and the rain will smell like candy.
That'll God. Be great for the okay. environment.
I get why the kid bullied you. Did he have to say, sorry, to go back, because in my head, he had to stand up and they're like, is there a bully here? Mm. Any bullies? He has to stand up and then do a speech and say, sorry, I've been bullying Tom Cashman.
No, I wasn't named, thank
he's
God.
He's pathetic and I feel bad for it, but he's got this terrible singing voice. He's so shit at this game. I go to his
the
house.
The teacher's like, what else do you bully him about? Yeah. Why else do you bully this guy? I'm like, is this the right...
Well, he's a little runt and, he's ugly, always smells.
Yeah, no, none of that. But, I just thought, I was kind of hoping it wasn't related to me, but then found out it was subsequently. So I definitely wasn't named. Because that would be mortifying. I don't know how you guys felt at that age, specifically about, public speaking or something. But, even standing up in an assembly and having everyone look at you as, you're a bully when you're six.
I was performing. I was doing bits early on.
You were.
I was in a band.
He was in a band.
I was in a band. A school band too.
Yeah.
Oh my lord.
We were little
in
performers.
Yeah. I mean, I could not do it outside of the
what did you
band,
play
though? The
vocal chords.
Yeah.
Right.
and bass, but I was very bad at the bass.
The vocal chords and bass?
Yeah. They gave me the bass because it only had 4 strings.
Mm.
They were like, you're very bad at guitar, so.
Sure.
Take the bass.
I didn't practice.
Bass is a bit of fun, though.
Yeah. You just got to go like. Dum, dum,
and you were playing bass at 6, though? That's
no,
not...
no, no. This okay. was like 17.
Oh, right. So, I'm like, that's a fucking. Yeah, they gave me the bass as a really patronizing gesture to a 6-year-old. I'm like, it's pretty advanced.
I've been to play bass. Bass well is really tricky. It's going to be so good. It requires so much music theory.
Oh my god!
A kid used to get bullied at my school. I just remembered this. One of my friends used to get bullied by this older kid because at the time in our school, anklet socks were quite in. Mm. So, this is in primary school.
They're in now.
Are they still? They're still doing well.
Oh my god!
I don't have many pairs.
Trendsetters.
But he would. So this kid didn't have any anklet socks, but he wanted to fit in. So what he would do? He would pull his normal socks down around his ankles and then put the bass on it so it would look like an anklet sock. But if you looked closely, you would see it was a pull down normal sock.
Okay, this is where this kid fucked up, because what everybody in my school did, because we were all poor, is our parents would buy normal socks and then we would pull the normal socks down so that the normal socks, the end of them was at our ankle, and then we'd have this big long flappy bit up near our feet that we would fold back over the top.
Under their toes.
Right, so because maybe that is where it went wrong, because it would always be bits of, it would slide up a little bit and it would be, but if you folded it back, it would probably lock it in better.
Mm.
Yeah. But no, under the base. Yeah, so you're using the sock, you're using the front bit of the sock to fold underneath your foot.
No, the top of
within the shoe.
The bit on your shin.
Well, you don't want it up there.
So say you pull a sock up to your shin.
Yeah.
Right? Then you grab it where it's around your shin and then you pull it down under the base of your ankle.
Yeah, that's not what people at my school would
do. No, really? I can't think of another way to do it.
Pedicure away.
So you've got the top of your sock, right? The bit that you're talking about.
Yeah.
So you just pull the whole sock. So that the end of your sock is the bit at the so you're pulling the end of the sock, the bit where your toes would be.
Yeah.
You pull that off your feet so the end of your, so it's just, it's pulled off the front, and then you fold the flappy bit at the front of your toe bit up onto the top. So it just looks like the edge of your sock, because it is still the edge of your sock is down around your ankle.
I think you're going to.
That's better.
That's what everybody at my school did.
You're going to run into
no one had an anklet sock.
Nobody had ankle socks.
But then all just agree that it's cool to do the other thing.
We still have to catch the school bus with kids from other schools, Tom.
Yeah, God, I wish that message got back to my school.
You're going to run into some heel issues, I feel like, though.
Yeah, I hated it.
But you'd rather
it's
not
better
get
than nothing. But then I don't fully understand. Sorry to go back to the sock thing, but what was your guy doing?
He would do it, and then you would. No, so he would just take, he would keep wearing the sock.
Yeah.
And he would just, I'm trying to show you guys, he would just pull it down all the way, sorry.
So it would bundle kind of around the bottom of the ankle.
It would bundle right near the ankle
back
ball.
Up. Yeah, no, that's stupid. You've got to do it all under the foot, saying. And he deserves to be bullied.
Well, he did. He got. I remember him in tears a lot of the time, and I'm like, what's happened? And he's like, I wore the wrong socks again. This older kid, this basketball kid, would always bully him. And then one day he did come to school with all these new socks, and he had a new kind of sense of confidence about himself.
Mm.
Yeah, because it was a big shorts school.
It was a big shorts school.
I don't think anyone ever wore pants.
We didn't have pants at my school.
Well, it was such a shit school, my one as well.
365.
Oh, but you're in North Queensland.
Yeah, you grew up somewhere hot. What's your excuse?
Well, there was no like...
People can't afford long pants.
We didn't really have long pants.
But that's not...
In the uniform, there was no... I think there was like track pants you could wear. But track pants were too hot for kids.
But what about in winter?
Well, no, most people would still wear shorts. All the boys would wear shorts, I'm telling you.
Yeah. I mean, I believe you. I'm just looking for an answer.
As a kid, there's also this thing like in winter, I feel like if you wear warm clothes and you're in like a climate that's warmer, you're like a pussy.
Oh,
like I never wore a jumper, even though I was cold on winter mornings, because I knew everybody would think I couldn't hack it.
Totally.
So I'd just be cold.
I think there was definitely a similar thing with raincoats and the rain. I'd never did you have raincoats?
We did wear those because we had like white uniforms and they'd go see-through.
Totally. Oh, right, there we are.
You know what, Tom?
I never put my raincoat on.
I don't think we had raincoats.
Just like a yellow thing that if it rained, you put it over your
yourself. We didn't. Was that part of your uniform?
I think it certainly didn't have any like logos on it or anything, but I think it was sold at the uniform shop, like a plastic thing to put up. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
No, we would just wear our backpacks over our front.
I've done that, yeah. Yeah, I've done that a lot.
But someone had raincoats?
No.
Then what were you saying before?
Well, like we would not get wet because you said that people would not want to get wet, so we'd stay undercover or we'd put our bags over our fronts.
Okay.
Because we didn't have like school approved raincoats, and we weren't allowed to wear things that weren't school uniforms.
You weren't allowed to wear something even like what about umbrellas?
No umbrellas. Your kids poking other kids' eyes out at them.
I remember these umbrellas. Kids are getting wet. Umbrellas were fine. People were okay to bring umbrellas at my school,
but I just remember being wet became a bit cool. Because it meant...
What?
Yuck.
Well, because it showed that you didn't give a fuck in the same way that you're saying that, like, wearing a jumper, you know, was a bit of a wuss move because, you're saying that the elements are affecting you in a similar way. I feel like, being wet became a bit... Like, if you were, like, 10, I think having a raincoat on or having an umbrella is a bit like, this guy can't handle the rain.
Plus, you used to like it if you got wet feet, like in primary school.
You like the squelch?
You like if you got wet feet, then you'd be able to take your shoes and socks off.
There's such a theme emerging. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I just can't follow along.
Do you have a foot thing?
What do you mean?
Well, you've said that you dreamed about having the Ian Thorpe's feet, that you got pedicures from your friends. Mm. You enjoy being able to take your socks off. That the school you grew up in, the socks was like a big part of being cool.
I just don't like having things on my feet.
Fair.
So, is that a Queensland thing?
I don't think so. My mum used to scream at me to put socks on because I didn't like wearing them. Because you know that like little seam that's near your toes?
What?
There's like a little seam near your toes.
Yes.
It hurt. Like I could feel it on my toes and it would frustrate me.
I'm having flashbacks. I hate it. Particularly like school socks. Yeah. Cotton socks.
Horrible.
That was really annoying. There was a little thing
touching my feet. I just like to keep my feet.
I'm back in.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think we could wear any socks in high. I can't really remember.
You wear any socks? Did you go to a public or a private school though?
A public school.
Okay.
Maybe. Quite a bad... I remember there was only one teacher that would give out uniform demerits.
Mm.
He was like... And everyone hated him.
Mm.
Even the other teachers hated him.
That was.
And then otherwise you could just wear whatever you want, really. Yeah. The uniform shop was really bad.
It was funny when they had systems. I feel like there was a points system at my school, like in Hogwarts. Oh. You get 20 points for your house. That's right, because, there's houses.
Yeah.
They give you... And I remember, in week one, I got 20 points in my house for doing a good thing. I'm like, oh, God, this is going to be, a system. Then I found out that was, the one teacher that kind of knew about that system, and that was the only time it ever happened.
Rules.
Either they made it up, or they're the only person who does it. And it's like, either everyone needs to do it, or this is not going to take off as a system.
Yeah, this teacher, the guy with the... He would just, he would be in K block, which was just one particular area.
Mm.
And you would just see him in the morning just have mainly boys just lined up against a wall that are just wearing hoodies. Just, giving out uniforms. Yeah. He loved it. No one else cared. It was so funny.
What, are you just, getting angry at the boys?
Yeah, just being why are you wearing a Quicksilver Since he's wearing navy blue.
You just got to let it go. If no one else, like, it's just going to continue to happen.
Well, I remember once I got and then I went to science. And then the science teacher just took it away. He goes, give me that. And he goes, he took it away. And I didn't get a uniform demerit. Because it was just this one guy on a vendetta against students.
Mm. There was one guy who loved when people, a teacher I had who loved catching people leaving the school when they weren't meant to, which again was a thing kind of, particularly for older students, didn't really matter.
The teachers try to be cool and they're like, yeah, it's a bit more flexible.
Now you're in year 11, guys. You're going to find a lot of things changed about how we treat you around here. But then you do.
Totally.
I remember talking to a teacher about that in year 11, like, oh man, like everyone's like nicer to me now. It's like crazy. And
what? Were people genuinely nice to
They're just
you?
A bit more respectful or something. And then, but this is what I was saying to the teacher, and the teacher's like, yeah, that's because 2 years ago you were all cunts.
You've changed.
You think that our attitude's changed. You've just stopped being an absolute psycho.
Year like 8 and 9, I think, particularly nightmares.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
We had a horrible teacher. She would like yell and scream at us all the time. So I feel like if there's a teacher who screams, it's really funny to aggravate them because you're like, you're a psycho.
Of course.
You're going to scream until your face goes red. And she had this massive like a mole on the side of her face, but it was like bright blue. It was like bright blue. And we used to call it
That's so funny.
That's the stupidest colour for a mole to be.
We used to call it a mood mole because it would like sort of change.
And she's
colour.
Always pissed off. It's always blue.
Yeah, she was always blue. And then we all had like little plasticines that we'd coloured in to be the exact same colour as her mole. And whenever she wasn't like we'd all, somebody would always have one on and like doing it.
That is actually bullying. That is crazy.
But yeah, you can't, like, my brain isn't formed. You can't fully blame me, you know?
Totally. Just go along with it and be like, God, the kids do the silliest things.
And if enough of you do it, then it's like, yeah, you can't take us all down.
Yeah. We used to have this teacher. I feel like now we're just bullying all the teachers. We had this other teacher, and he used to drink like 3 or 4 coffees a day in the arts room. And one time
to be aware of.
Yeah, he would just talk about it all the time. Yeah, he just moved back to Townsville from Melbourne.
Oh, and he's talking about the beans.
I love a coffee. Oh,
can't get a good cup in Townsville, though.
He also used to always talk about how...
To a 14-year-old Townsville kid.
Grow up, mate.
He also used to also talk about...
Yeah, 3 a day, yeah.
Talk about how he went to school with Eric Banner.
And, oh, that's cool. I like that.
He'd also tell us this story about how he used to have these big Great Danes when he was growing up, and they were so big, and he got put in charge of feeding them, and one day he opened up the can of dog food, and it cut the vein in his thumb like the can did, and it was just bleeding heaps, and so he kept on like sucking the blood and then it kept bleeding and it kept sucking the blood until what had happened is it actually cut into like an artery or something, and he was just drinking so much blood that he passed out and then they had to go to the hospital and get his stomach pumped because he drunk so much of his own blood.
Oh my god.
He told us that story. We were like, you're an idiot.
He told you that.
My favourite thing about that story is it starts with, yeah, I used to have Great Danes. You think it's going to be a cute dog story? It's like, this is the time I drank 2 liters of my own blood and almost died.
But one time we, because he always drank coffee, bought it in his mug, and then he went out and me and my friend mixed up acrylic paint to be the exact same colour as his coffee and watered it down and then tipped his coffee out and put the acrylic paint.
Danielle.
Oh my God.
Danielle. Like, this is so funny. And yeah, we're poisoning him. And then he drank it and was like, go! He always used to yell that at us when we were doing
Yeah, he just drank
when we were trying to kill the man.
We were trying to poison the teacher.
But he just wanted to be cool. He never got us in trouble or anything.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is acrylic paint poisonous?
I think so. I don't know if you're supposed to drink
it. Oh, you should not put that in your body. Our year 12 geography teacher, I remember, her son was in our class.
Oh, okay.
And we made her cry once because we had a substitute teacher and we were very mean to the... very mean to the substitute teacher, and then she gave us a bad report. And then she came in the next day, the actual teacher, and she was like, I'm so disappointed. I trusted you, and and she wept for like 25 minutes.
Oh, she cried.
Our actual teacher cried to us, disappointed in us.
Yeah.
And her son's in the class.
Oh.
And then, like, after, we were just like, your mum's so lame.
He's gone through this traumatic event watching his mother break down in front of all his friends.
And you better believe he heard about it at home. When she was like, what happened in there today?
Well, maybe he would have ratted you all out a little bit. I think maybe, he would have gotten, she would have gotten the inside scoop about what happened.
He was a bit naughty, I remember, as well,
mm.
and would kind of get away with a lot of stuff as well because his mum was the teacher.
Well, you've got to try, and I think if you... My sister had that, because my dad's a teacher and she went to the school that he taught at. And I don't think she did this, but it did occur to me that, I don't know, you've got to go either like full, just be good, or try and make your name a little bit and show that you're not the teacher's kind of kid or whatever, because... If you're trying to be a bit naughty, people will be like, nah, you're just one of the you're one of the adults, really. Yeah. You know, you're affiliated by family. You're like a cop's kid. You know?
You're an undercover cop. Exactly. Pretty much. Yeah. You're on the inside.
Exactly. So then you've got to show, that's how you get into a gang. You've got to do some sort of initiation thing and show you, do something actually naughty to get in.
Throw a rock at your mum, the teacher.
Exactly.
Prove you're one of us.
What about, I used to wag school sometimes, but I'd wag, I don't know if it's classified as wagging, because I would not go to the class I was supposed to go to, but then I would go to the music room and hang out with my music teacher and we'd just play Disney songs and sing together.
I like that. Like, what's the definition of a wag? Do you have to do something cool, or if you go to and then engage in other learning opportunities, does that just count as like a class transfer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you ever get caught?
I mean, like, what, nobody's going to walk in and be like, what's she doing here?
Well, I mean, yeah, they could.
Yeah.
The teacher of the one you're wagging.
Yeah, that's true, but she's in class busy with all the other kids.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
Plus, I said, I've got a note from Mr. McGrath to say I've got to go. So then, yeah,
it's just
I go
like
hang out with
they
Mr.
care.
McGrath.
I remember because I had a game of golf early in year 11 with the new vice principal of our school. And because he was a member of the golf
fucking
course.
Fucking hell,
that.
You're like the man. Yeah, come on, mate. I'll show you the ropes.
No,
let's
well,
have
anyway,
a bit of golf.
And then
Alex talking.
He had my phone number.
Watch out for Michael, okay? Michael, in year 11, of course, you're going to have to take that bloke down a peg if you want any respect in this town.
Well, look, anyway, I got him on side because of that. And then he got my phone number because, like, occasionally be like, oh, we've got a spot free in our group on Saturday if you want a game or whatever. Mm. And then once, cause I would wag regularly and go to the golf course.
Mm.
And once I got in trouble, like the teacher went and they're like, Sam's not here again. And he rang me and he was like, and he's like, man, and like, it's a not, the vice principal shouldn't be ringing you like to be like, you got to come back to school. And I was like, oh, mate, I'm playing in the comp. I can't make it back. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll think of something. Like he was on my side because he liked playing golf. So he was, so that, I mean, yeah, they don't care that much, do they?
I mean, that's an extremely specific situation where you're a golf prodigy.
Not a prodigy, like, I was just an okay golfer.
But then he was, I feel like, would have been proud of that to some degree. Like if you're just like, yes. I just got a birdie.
Well, he loved the fact. He loved the fact.
All right.
Yeah. He loved the fact that I would do the, because he would come to the golf tournament, the school golf tournaments and stuff. Yeah. So he was like into it. Like he wanted me to.
They had school golf tournaments at your school?
No. Like interstate golf tournaments. Okay. Yeah. But I was the only one at my school who'd go and play.
Yeah.
He was a good golfer. But, he was like in bigger competitions and stuff. So it would have brought the school kind of good respect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And totally. I feel
like
because
you're like the, you know, the American like gridiron players that kind of can get away with rape.
I mean,
colleges,
look,
you know.
Tom, I can't stress it was just a game of golf. I was just out.
No, you got away with wagging because that's how good you were. You weren't like. All,
oh yeah, yeah.
In terms of the crimes you can get away with because of your talent, you're at wagging levels.
Oh my god!
I only ever got called into the principal's office once, and it was because me and my friends, a boy at school, had called one of our friends like a rat cunt. And
it's a bad one to say.
It was a bad one.
First time I'm hearing it.
It hurt. I mean, it doesn't sound good, Danielle.
He called her a rat cunt, and so then we were like, we need to get back at him. And so then what we did is we got like a tampon out of somebody's bag and undid the tampon and then cut a red pen off and then blew the red ink onto the tampon and then blew it up.
Very creative,
and then threw it into his bag.
Yes.
And then Mrs. Griffin was like, she got us and she was like, girls, this is disgusting. And we're like, it's not used, miss.
Yeah, you idiot. What it's would possibly fun. Make you think that it was used?
She was like, you ruined his graphics assignment. We're like, well, he shouldn't have called Rebecca a rat cunt.
It was kind of fair. He did need to get some punishment.
Absolutely.
For calling a rat cunt. Yeah. I think it's almost fair play on that one.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's also like, what idiot thinks that that's blood? It's fluorescent red as well.
Yeah, you're actually playing off, you know,
it's like
boys
a 16-year-old boy definitely knows what period.
No idea about period.
Real period. Exactly. He could distinguish it from other colours of red.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember making a teacher cry once, but I didn't really do it. Like, she started, I think I called out or something in year six and did something a bit annoying. And then she, that was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back. And she started crying and left the room. And it was like a big thing. And all the people in the class were like, "You made her cry." And I was like, "Not really. I feel like it was mainly Lachlan from before." He was being quite frustrating for quite a while. And I just asked one question. Like, I didn't do it. And it was like all about me. And it was like, not fair. She's been frustrated all morning.
And then did you get in trouble?
Yeah, but I think it was more kind of about the class. I think another teacher came in who was her friend and was like, "I don't know who's done this." But then I think people kind of told on me, and then she kind of yelled at me in front of people a bit specifically towards me. But I think it was mainly my classmates that were kind of blaming me specifically.
Those, you know what they are, rat cunts.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't, yeah, exactly. I should, yeah, I was like 2% of it, but just the last 2% doesn't count.
I got suspended once for... in a first aid course, this has just been weird stories about school at the end here. But I got, another kid wrapped, we were supposed to be doing like whatever. What do you call it?
Oh, I thought you rapped, like you did a rap.
Yeah, in the first, and they suspended me. I was like, "My name is Sam and I'm pretty cool. I go to Nara High, but I'm all cool.
And that's my school."
Oh, God, now you would have stayed, you would have got suspended.
Yeah, that would have been like, this is prefect material. But change the letters in prefect, and I think it applies to the rap we just heard. It was perfect. We loved it. School wrapped in.
So we wrapped, you know, like your arm wrapping that if someone had a cut or whatever. We're doing a first aid course, and we wrapped a kid up his whole body from head to toe, covered his eyes like a mummy, and we thought that was pretty funny. Mm. And then we were like, go for a walk.
That was actually the theme of Slim Shady LP. Speaking of rap. He was a mummy.
Yeah, I remember the film. Was that in the film clip?
I think, yeah, yep.
Yeah.
For like My Name Is or something.
Yeah. Anyway, so this guy's wrapped head to toe.
Just rap history and in two different ways.
And we make him go for a walk. He trips over, breaks his arm. And then it was,
God.
Like, so you can just use some of the wrapping from...
Well, we were like, he's ready to go now. Perfect. We were getting ahead of the game.
Yeah, it's like falling over in front of the hospital. Perfect.
Yeah, but the teacher she was like, "You shouldn't have."
And you got suspended.
Only for like a day or two. And then they were like, they let us back in.
Did your parents... did you get in trouble?
I remember my dad being very upset.
Mm. Well, you can't really get in trouble for that, though. It's not like you purposefully hurt a boy. You just made him into a mummy with some bandages.
No, but they were bullying. They were tormenting a boy, and then as a result of the torment,
he asked us to wrap him up.
Yeah, I thought it was just a bunch of fun.
Yeah, it was all
fun.
Yeah,
he was in on the fun?
Yeah, he was definitely in on the fun.
Now I'm
the principal. He got suspended as well.
Mr. Taunton, sit down and stop raising your voice.
Is it suspended, or is it just you have a broken arm, so you have a few days off school?
Well, yeah, I mean, half of it. But he told everyone he got suspended as well.
Yeah, I don't reckon he did. You can't, as the victim, get suspended for mischief. Maybe that's why he broke his arm.
I mean, well, I guess you can if you, like, got third-degree burns, but you set the fire. It's like a similar thing.
But if there were three people and one set the fire and two... I mean, all three did and one got burns, I feel like you'd be more mad at the ones without burns. Well, he's kind of learnt. Like, the punishment was in the crime for one guy and for the rest, like, you need to be the punishment. You know?
They wrapped us up. And then,
yeah, exactly. They've got to do the same thing.
I remember being, I had a few more days on the golf course. It was fine for me.
Totally.
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend yesterday
who said, vice principal, let me get, he goes, "Mate, hit the links, take a few days off."
Hit the links.
He didn't say that, but imagine if he did.
I was talking to a friend yesterday who said that he, a guy in his year, was famous for having done a shit in a classroom. During like I think maybe there was an assembly or something, and this three guys went into like a random classroom, and one of them took a shit in the corner, and that was like the joke, and then they left, and then they got in trouble for it, and two of the guys said that it was one of the guys, and then he insisted that it was one of the other two, and so
classic
this
who done it.
Well, exactly, but then the guy, so everyone just assumed, trusted the two people over the one. And then this guy became famous for having taken a shit. And, like, recently, my mate said he ran into this guy and he was like, "Oh, you had the classroom shit." Like, this reputation still to this day follows him around. But then my thing was, like, if there's three people, definitely, like, the two cooler ones are, like, the one with the least power in the three are just going to blame
that, of course,
the other
yeah.
one. And then, so it was, like, almost certainly wasn't the guy that the two people blamed. but seems so unfair.
But now the guy who, the accused shitter, does he have a bit of cred now, it sounds?
No, I think he actually really didn't like it.
I don't think you can ever get cred from, like, shitting in a classroom. Like, because then the other kids are like, but we got to sit here.
Totally, yeah.
There was a kid very famous at my school. I won't say his name. I mean, who knows? He's probably not listening. But he he famously would go and shit behind trees in the playground.
Why
do you do anything, Danielle? But he famously would do it. Once a week, they'd be like, oh, I think I was going and shat behind that tree. Don't go over there. And it was kind of, I mean, I don't know if every time it was true, but he definitely was shitting at times.
What do you mean?
Toilets.
Do you mean, what do you mean it was true? As in there wasn't even
like
shit.
He would shit heap. He always smelt of shit.
Yeah, because he didn't use toilet paper. He just had it stuck to his butt cheeks,
oh
didn't he?
Oh, my God. Yes. That's disgusting. But is that why everyone was wearing shorts?
Let
some air in.
If he had pants, it wouldn't have stayed.
He was the only one. It wasn't like a school thing, but he was the only one shitting himself.
Oh,
this went on too late, till year 5 or 6, probably.
Whoa, that's way too late.
Oh, I was picturing a 15-year-old originally, though, so I'm quite pleased.
Oh, so now it's better. No, this is primary school. Maybe earlier. Maybe, like, year 3 or 4.
Did you ever piss your pants early at school?
No,
I think in preschool I did.
You did? And you remember it?
I remember having pissed my pants. I remember coming home with piss in my pants. So I'm sure it happened at the preschool.
I don't think you went to school like that.
I don't think my parents would let me go like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I can't remember any, like, torment around it.
I feel like that's pretty acceptable at preschool. What are we, 4 at that age?
I went, like, till 10 or 11.
You went to preschool?
They were like, you should stay for a bit. You haven't quite mastered nap time yet.
Exactly. Yeah. Can't even sleep.
Kids who get kept in preschool do get bullied bad.
Do they?
Yeah, because we had a kid who got kept down in preschool. And I think he's the only kid who got bullied because we were like, you got kept down because you couldn't cut with scissors properly? Like, you must be so bad at cutting with scissors.
Is that what you do? Play-Doh and scissors.
You don't get scissors in preschool.
No, yeah, but the fake, you get the plastic ones. And they sort of like, you know, they cut the paper, but it's not
and
like
cardboard.
As smooth as the other one.
Yeah. Okay. This is ringing a bell.
But you can't actually cut yourself with them.
No, he got kept down because he was bad with those.
Well, in year 3, I almost cut my finger off with actual scissors making a diorama.
He should have.
I had to go to hospital. I've still got a scar on my finger. Right, the teacher was like,
it's too much commitment to the diorama.
Well, there was a big line for the hole punch, I remember. So I was like, I'll have a crack with the scissors. Like trying to make a hole with the scissors.
Yeah, gotcha. Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Dioramas were
bit of fun.
You used to love those.
Oh, that makes sense. You're an arts and crafts enthusiast.
I loved it. But in my mind, it was so much better. Like in my mind, you know when you, if you look at something that you make, you can see it objectively as it is. Back then I was like, if I made this one for the Northern Hairy-Nosed Wombat, and it was like this perfect diorama with like sandy hills and stuff. And like I got a yowie that was like a hairy nosed wombat. And in my mind, it was
Hang on, a yowie? That's cheating. You can't chuck a yowie in there.
I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Where did a yowie come from?
You're putting Kinder Surprise toys in there. I was like, you didn't make that.
That's my kind of diorama.
And I just remember looking at it and thinking, like, yes, it looks exactly like the desert. Mm. Like it looked like I couldn't physically see that
it's like
it
me
didn't
with
look like
you're
like
in
postcard.
The desert now.
Yeah.
It's like PAA Zoo. You're just like, this is all going to be compliments. I absolutely nailed it here.
And I did nail it.
I had do you remember getting good marks and good positive feedback?
I remember getting good feedback. And at the end of, like, Kris Kringle time, in the lead up to Secret Santa.
You gifted your diorama to someone? They're like, thanks, Danielle.
We'd have to write, like, compliments and put them into different people's ones.
Oh, cute.
And,
hang on. The lights have gone out.
The lights have gone out, yeah, if you could. I think it's the one under that. If you could press that, maybe. Oh, it's gone pitch black in the studio. Which
should we end the podcast?
Hang on, maybe. Oh, I'll have a go at like fixing this. But I assume you just did what?
What?
Oh, we're back.
Yeah.
How the fuck did I not do that?
Well,
right?
The problem is it's quite dark.
I think what happened there is that there was an issue, and it was solved in the interim between you trying and then me trying.
Oh, like when you loosen
exactly
a jar of pasta that's on very tight. And
totally. But
I
that
give
would
it to you to do and you don't get it and then it goes to the next person and then you go loosened it.
Yep, a little bit of that. I think you loosened it, Danielle. What were we saying? Dioramas.
Oh, yeah. Kris Kringle would always get, like, a week before you'd give the Secret Santa, you'd have to write compliments and put it in other people's little stockings. That's so cute.
Stockings. That is beautiful, yeah.
And so I'd always get ones that were like, you're good at arts and crafts, or you're good at drawing, and cute. You're good at that. And then I'd give other ones for different people.
Do you remember any that you wrote?
No, because you don't remember, do you? No. I would have said if I was still with Carly Scheel, because she was like my drawing mentor.
Mm. When
we had year four. She used to draw like, she was so good. She'd draw like all these like whimsical creatures that sort of look like scary Pokemon.
Mm.
But she was like really good at drawing them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun. Did you have a compliments thing?
My school?
It's like a comments box.
Not really, I don't think.
Do you reckon the teacher put some in there to, like, encourage? Because that would be quite encouraging. If you get, like, a few along the same lines, you'd be like, oh, that's my talent, and then I'm going to, like, pursue it more. It gives you some confidence. It's actually a brilliant idea.
Did you go in high school... have on Valentine's Day, you could send roses to your crushes?
No.
No.
They had that at our school. It was like humiliating in roll call. Yeah. Like people are getting, other people are not getting roses.
That's
like,
so.
That's really fucked.
It's so crazy. Wrong, and probably for the teachers just for gossip purposes or something.
But yes, what would be so fun.
Imagine. You just see people crying and some people overjoyed and you get to know who's who. Because I feel like teachers would always know who's got crushes on
who.
Could
people buy them for themselves? Because so many people would have done that at my school.
Interesting.
I suspect Danielle for giving herself diorama compliments. You've admitted it unconsciously there. But yeah, what was your situation with the roses? Did you have to...
Well, no, I think looking back on it now, it was... I remember I thought I got one in year eight, and then it turned out my sister had sent it to me.
I thought you were going to say it's like, oh, I thought they came in bouquets and that was just one, but actually, oh, that was 10.
No, very few girls talked to me in high school.
That's a shame.
But as a little, like looking back now, what would happen in, as a kind of a nod now to like the Yas Queen culture on Instagram, a lot of girls would send them to their groups. So almost all the girls would get roses.
Yeah.
And then a few girls wouldn't, humiliating for them. Then like a lot of the jock boys would get roses and then no one else would get roses. But I remember people would be in tears on Valentine's Day. A lot of people wouldn't come to school on Valentine's Day.
Like, totally.
I wouldn't. I'd be like, get absolutely rid of it. No way. My dad told me I wasn't allowed to. When I was a kid, I'd always make Valentine's presents for my mum and dad. And dad was like, at like a certain age, he was like, you don't get your parents' Valentine's Day presents.
you gotta tell. That's one of those ones where as a parent you'd enjoy it, but then at some point it's like, we gotta tell her. Like, this is...
How old was it when you were told?
I don't know, probably like 12 or 13. Oh. But I was also just like stealing mum's perfume and then gifting it back to her with a card.
That's cute.
Thinking about that recently of like getting, because like you're getting gifts when you're a kid, like Christmas and birthday, big ones.
Yeah.
Like those are the big like present getting days. And then you're not getting your parents' shit.
No.
You know?
No.
Sometimes on Mother's and Father's Day, you'd get like some little thing at school. They'd give you something to give them or something. Like there'd be some culture around giving them some tokenistic
some
thing.
Horrible thing that some grandmas have made.
Exactly.
And they're not the good ones who sell it at the market. They're like
hobby
ones.
Yeah, exactly. This, like, the shitty worst grandma's market came to the school. Yeah, totally. I think that's exactly what it was. I remember someone getting a spoon at one of those, like a cooking spoon, like a big kind of kitchen spoon, whatever. And or maybe I got that for my mum and then for Mother's Day, and someone told me like just a friend of mine was like, my mum told me that they actually hate this stuff.
Inside goss.
Yeah, he's like, and I'm like, really? No way. And then I asked my mum, she's like, yeah, he's right.
Just getting a spoon. Thanks. Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Tom.
But before that, I thought it was so sick. But then at some stage when you're like 12, 13, 14, around there, like maybe there's a bit of an obligation to get your parents something for their birthday now. They're giving you a bit of pocket money and like, you know, it's not really about money either. Like the thought that counts, you should get something. And I remember being in my room with my mum because it was my dad's birthday soon and being like, I'm just looking around my room for like, what can I give him? And I had like this wooden box, whatever. And I'm like, oh, could I give him that box? And I remember her being like, I mean, you could. But the thing is, he gave you that box. So, like last year. So that wouldn't be a great gift.
It's my dream to get a present that I've given to someone else.
The least thought in the world, just looking around your room, pointing at you, what about that? Can I give him that?
We We just used to do go shopping. If it was Dad's birthday, like Mum, you'd go shopping with Mum and pick something out.
Mm.
Or vice versa. But one time I remember it was like Mum's birthday or something. And first of all, Dad used to get Mum gifts and she'd be angry because once he got her a set of knives and she was like, I don't want these fucking kitchen knives. But then another time Dad bought her like, I remember it was like fluorescent orange lingerie and it was really uncomfortable because we just all watched Mum open it as a family.
Yeah, my Valentine's Day thing was weird, Dad. Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's you have fun. A weird... Don't you? It's not Christmas, that's Valentine's Day. You need to be getting Valentine's Day. It's wrong in this family.
I think my dad thinks it's just underwear, though, because once he sent me for my birthday, he sent me, like, a Bras and Things gift card, and I was like...
I don't know.
No.
Cole's
my dad.
Totally. Yeah,
that's just
what
like,
the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's just like a conversation
he's
I
focusing on the
dads
things.
Don't have with their daughters.
Yeah.
It's just being like, I'll just give you cash. Mm. Yeah. If you need underwear, go get
I
underwear.
I assume you're buying bras. That's what these... That's what daughters want, mainly. Less things, more bras, I think, is what they're really after. But I'm going to give you a Westfield voucher. Generalize, even though you know what they're after.
I used to love
orange
it.
As well.
Orange. Yeah, horrible.
Whoever
colour.
Wears orange lingerie?
Not me.
I've never seen it before, except for that one time.
Yeah, totally.
I used to love the Bras and Things catalogue, though, as a young boy.
Mm.
That was one of the big... I would be waiting at the post box for it to get delivered.
Really?
I loved it. Big fan of it.
Mm.
You could have a look at some women in there.
I mean, yeah, I assumed that was the focus.
Yes.
Did you have bad internet in the country, too?
I remember like the images buffering, taking a long time to get through. But I couldn't tell you what year that was. I think we got a computer in 97, 96, 97. Mm. I don't know. I don't think it had the internet. I don't know when we got. Oh, no, maybe we got the internet as well.
Our internet was so slow and I had no idea how to look at porn. So the first time I watched porn, I was 18 and I was at my friend's house and we all watched a Scooby-Doo porn parody together.
And did you like it?
No. I was like, sitting there like, this is so uncomfortable.
Like, Scooby, don't. Scooby, stop.
So for that to be your introduction
just
to porn.
Four of us sitting in the lounge being like, this will be funny.
That was the thing when people started to get kind of group porn watching things happening a few times in teenage years that occurred where some kind of guy tried to kick it off.
It's
like,
awful.
Like,
under the guise of it being a bit funny or
it's
whatever.
Funny
and you're like,
it's
not
Scooby-Doo.
Funny. Yeah, but
like,
even
no,
so, no.
I don't
want to
see. It's not the plot's not good. Nothing's happening.
The
not
costumes
even
are rubbish.
These monsters.
I used to have it because my mum was a journalist in like in a medical magazine, so she had these like now we're just talking about sexual stuff.
No,
but
I love it.
Like these what do you call it? Like stock photography kind of books that had like the codes if you wanted to buy the stock photography to use in like the magazine, you'd use those. So there were like very clinical, photos of breasts in them. That was my Bras
and
Things.
You had the code.
Well, no, it's just a physical book.
Oh.
But you just go through the book and some, like, they were all just, you know, a guy with a stethoscope, like, smiling. They
That's
were mainly
funny.
Stuff like
was there
that.
Also, like, diseased body parts as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You
there
were
lots
jerking
of, like,
off just hoping you get the right page.
There were lots of really disturbing stuff in some of the magazines as well, but every now and then you'd, and it'd be like, this is what happens when the, you know, the nipple goes all wrong. You're like, oh, I mean, I don't know. You're aware that it's like, I don't know if I should start here. This feels like a 55-year-old man's already finishes up, you know. It's not the beginning of my journey. Similar to the Scooby-Doo, though. That's like... some sort of fetish, like that should be the seventh thing you do.
I have to wrap up. We've got to go to a gig.
Yeah, we've got to go to a gig.
Yeah.
Are you coming?
Sure.
Yeah, cool. Do you have anything you want to say to finish?
No.
Okay, good. Yeah, perfect. Perfect.
Thanks for coming, Danielle.
No worries.
Dooby dooby doo, where are you? We got some work to do now. Scooby dooby doo, where are you? Help from you now. Come on, Scooby-Doo, I see you. Pretending you got a sliver. You're not fooling me, cause I can see the way you shake and shiver. You know we got a mystery to solve. Scooby-Doo, be ready for your act. Don't hold back. And Scooby-Doo, if you come through, you're gonna have yourself a Scooby snack. Are you?
and your